Curtis, a.k.a. Slim Shady, alongside. I'm Ken Laird.
Hi, Ken.
We are presented by the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. Your New England Ford dealers have the Ford Summer Sales event going on. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Let's get to the fans. Fans, it's the fan station, right?
Yep.
Let's hear what they think. We're talking Red Sox. We're just jumping in. A little bit of Patriots. Talk Micah Parsons. But as you pointed out, we have done...
way too much.
A misguided, nonsensical... I don't know how to phrase that.
Trade
properly.
Proposal or theorized about the way to get a superstar to the Patriots for 4 years.
Steph Diggs is here. Like, sometimes it happens. Garrett Crochet is here.
Steph Diggs would have been a story a year before when he went to the Texans and he got hurt.
Yeah, Micah Parsons might come here in 5 years.
Right? Yes, after he blows out an ACL.
McLaurin's 30, though, right? So maybe that's more in your wheelhouse? Maybe? Is that attainable?
You're 50 adjacent. I mean, jeez.
We're all middle-aged at this point.
We sure are.
Let's go to Rob in Boston. Probably young and spry. Hi, Rob.
What's up, gang? Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to bring up the idea of a super pin, super bullpen here. Before the deadline, I did hear that kind of thrown around as possibility. It was either plan A, getting a number two starter, which I think was the clear-cut, right thing to do. But with adding the two arms, do you think the idea of stretching these innings out over the course if the playoffs, if we do make the playoffs, is kind of what maybe they're going for now or maybe have to go for? And do you guys feel like the idea of this super pin notion is for ownership groups to get away from having to pay these big contracts for starting rotation guys?
Hmm. All right, interesting, Rob.
Yeah, I think that if there's a cheaper option, John Henry is for it. That's sort of the way in which they're running this. That's why they love their farm. That's why they love holding on to these prospects, because in no other sport, I mean, the NFL slightly, especially with quarterbacks, because they redid the way the first round picks were, their salaries were given out, the contracts. But in no other sport is it even close to Major League Baseball and the way in which the franchise has the hand over the player in the first 7 years. So,
I mean, call me crazy. I like Crochet when he goes 7 or 8 innings. That's kind of nice. Old school throwback style. Cora is good at using starters as relievers come playoff time, though.
Sale in 2018. But
he did bring the bunt back out yesterday. What do you think about that?
I love bunts.
Sack bunts galore.
In 2004, Manny Ramirez, Pedro Martinez, Curt Schilling. In 2007, you had the same guys there. You had Josh Beckett, Mike Lowell. 2013, John Lackey. 2018, David Price. You haven't won without a very high-priced lineup and starting pitcher. So that's how you win.
Baby Pedro. That's what you're relying on now. You need Baby Pedro to come alive. Changeup is cooking.
Pedro is Brady adjacent for me. Like, the fact that
I call May Baby Brady.
Besmirch the name of Pedro is offensive.
Let's go. I might start calling Drake May Baby Brady then.
That's great. That's fine. I watched an awful, God, is this docuseries, the soccer docuseries. I started watching it a bit last night.
Is it bad?
Awful.
To Mansfield we go. Sorja is there. Hello, Sorja.
Ken and Curtis, how are we today?
We're good.
Good to hear from you. Really quick here, I thought Cooper Chris, well, I think they called him up, right? He did well.
Yeah.
Baby Clemens.
7 innings last night from Cooper.
And then thank God for everyone, I believe, that Dick Fitz was sent down.
Right, baby Dick
but
Fitz.
But really quick here, my real complaint with this Red Sox team is the fact that the Joe Ryan reporting, I don't know if you've been following that, but there was some reporting saying that the Red Sox made the late push for Joe Ryan and they weren't willing to move on for some prospects. And I just think that the problem with this front office is that their words don't meet their actions, right? They say that they want to make a deep postseason push, but it would have been best to make the moves at the deadline. And the last thing I want to say is that, I think Lou Maloney, he was on the award-winning Greg Hill show a couple months ago, and he made a great point with Trevor Story where, like, sometimes Trevor Story hits, like, 350, and all of a sudden he struggles. And you see this with this team, right? Sometimes they score 13, sometimes they score 2. And if they want to make a deep push, they kind of have to come to some sort of midline so that they don't have this up and down.
All right, thanks, Sorja. And in terms of Ryan, the Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic reported they offered the password Just Nixon Garcia, one of their top prospects, top outfield prospect, and others. I'm sure that's true. But again, why would the Twins make that move? Why would they trade Joe Ryan for just Nixon Garcia, who's could be good, but he's like a fringe outfielder? I mean, he's not going to be Roman Anthony.
But here's where the reporting from Will Fleming on with the afternoon show yesterday enrages me, where he said it was too quick. They weren't going to give up major league arms. They're going to reevaluate this, and I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Ryan's the second starter on next year's Red Sox team. Right? That's about what Will Fleming
right.
said.
So in the offseason, they go hard after.
So in one breath, they're telling you, we're all in. We're going. This is this year. We're reinvesting in this team. We are going after it this year. And then they say, pump the brakes. We'll get it this summer when everybody has an opportunity to go get them. And to me, that's the latest and greatest example of you're just not that invested.
What if they trade Duran in the offseason? It's possible they said, we can't afford to trade Jaron Duran now, but we will at the end of the year.
I think Theo Epstein would have traded Duran for Joe Ryan without a question in his mind. That this is Jaron Duran is at the peak of his power right now. He's been on a run. He's been awesome. Let's sell high and get a guy that we can re-sign and have our 1-2 starter for the next 6 years with Crochet and Ryan.
And win with pitching, not take a hit on offense, whatever.
If you enter the postseason without Jaron Duran, but with Crochet, Ryan, and Aroldis Chapman, you are a legitimate World Series contender. You just are.
Maybe. They're still missing a couple other pieces. They still needed a first baseman.
Well, but you could get that without giving up big league guys.
Yeah, they should have. Let's go to Carlos. I believe he's in Tampa. Huh? Carlos, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Hey, Curtis. I've been listening to you for the longest time on the Greg Hill show and even before that. And I love you, Curtis. I do. I like the way you think. I like the tough questions that you ask. But my friends, you got to tone it down a little when it comes to the negativity of the Red Sox. Listen, if we get to the postseason, we're going to go deep. And if we don't go deep, it's not because of the pitching. I would have been more interested in getting another bat, like for the first base. That would get us even deeper into the postseason if we get there. In the postseason, we got Crochet, we got Bayo that is pitching very well, and Giolito, okay? And then we got a very decent bullpen. So, you know, I know that the organization, you know, they overpromise and underdeliver. I know they've been doing that. But this year, my belief is we have a decent team. If we get to the postseason, we're gonna go deep. If we don't go deep, it's not gonna be because of the pitching. It's gonna be because we don't have another, you know, experienced bat in the lineup.
All right,
so
Carlos,
that's my take, and I love you, my friend.
Well, love's a bit strong. Are you sure? Are you sure about that,
Carlos? I love you. Great call. I disagree. I think they could have done both. They could have gotten Joe Ryan. They could have got a first baseman, and it's the margin is just smaller, right? I mean, the way in which you see them making a deep playoff run, there's a lot of people like, I mean, Brian Bale. Maybe he's great in the postseason, but a guy that's been that up and down in the regular season is generally not a guy that you believe that can do it in the playoffs.
But back to the bunts. I love it. Small ball. You're going to win with small ball now.
I love small ball.
Let's go. This is your favorite place on the planet, Lubbock, Texas, where Eric is. Hello, Eric.
Hey, guys. It's not my favorite place on Earth either, but no. It's where I am today. Last night I had to sit down with my wife for about an hour and go through a therapy session because this deadline debacle broke me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Here's the thing. Lying and ineptness. I felt and believed that they said they were going to be bold this year. And after the Rafi Devers trade, or I should say Ralphie Devers trade, I felt like for sure Breslow had backed himself into a corner where he was going to absolutely have to make some, you know, quality deals, and he didn't do it. He should have been in or out on Ryan when the team left on Wednesday and moved on to other options, and he didn't.
Well, that's a good point, Eric. My problem with Curtis is he won't give Breslow any criticism. He just all funnels to the front office.
Well, right. I understand all of his troubles can be placed at the feet of the people that hired him and empowered him. And if they're all in the room, and I have no reason to doubt Sam Kennedy talking to Rob Bradford about it, at a certain point, whether it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 5:30, stop texting Jared Karabas and spinning something and call the Twins and say, what will it take? We need to win now. And for my critique, it is that you have had the opportunity to have teams that are in contention, and there is nothing better than October baseball in Boston. Nothing. I love the playoffs in football. I love the Bruins and the Celtics. The city of Boston is reshaped when you have playoff baseball in October, and this ownership group has failed to invest in it. And it begins, what I've said since the time they traded him, is the failure to assume money from Devers because it was so personal that you precluded yourself from getting a better package for a guy where they made the right decision to trade him, and you would have had a better haul possibly with Joe Ryan. It all comes back to actions over words, and their actions have not met what they have said for 3 to 4 years.
Correct. And I would like to just add one other thing before you move on to other callers. They talk about being bold. WEEI, honestly, in my opinion, was bold when they hired Greg Hill and they brought in that squad. And then Ken said, I'm going to let them cook and look at the results. And that's exactly what the Red Sox should have done with making other deals if Joe Ryan was not going to happen. We needed a first baseman. Everybody that was traded for prospects. There was no major league talent that went away from other teams. We needed a first baseman. We needed a 2, 3, or 4 starter, somebody better than Dick Fitz and now Dusty May, and they could not make that happen. And it's just, it's broken me to a certain extent.
Right,
so I appreciate you all for listening to me.
All right, Eric.
And I'll continue to listen.
Keep your head up.
Yep, keep your head up.
I really think the Greg Hill Show set off on a new course of just success when we traded Ken for Jackson.
Will you ever be a program director in Hubbock, Texas?
I would love to. Somewhere Richard Deitch is still breaking down that podcast.
All right, lots of calls. Red Sox reaction. We want your thoughts. Some are broken. Some are not. We've had a few that are hanging in there that still believe this is the Carlos thinks they're going to make a good run.
Yeah.
So maybe he's right. They won last night. Fenway was jumping in the 10th. Here are the details from Jacob Lasseter. Your August edition of the Ken and Curtis Show. Back on track after a sparsely attended month for you and I, Curtis.
Yep.
Happy to be back. And Friday is your man statue.
Oh, and tomorrow, happy early birthday to Tom Brady and the great Crazy Carl Narcisse, 41 tomorrow, Carl. They share a birthday, the two big goats of my life.
Are you going Friday?
No.
Not going to be there. Well, you really don't love the guy.
No, I, you're right. I don't love Tom Brady. That is correct. I am not I went to the Tom Brady night and I'm reminded why I never go to Gillette. It's just a pain in the ass.
Come on.
One day when I live out in the burbia.
WEI afternoons will be there 2 to 6 on Friday leading up to the festivities.
You think there's any chance there'll be a Seaport Arena basketball, football of any kind?
Yes. Maybe women's basketball.
Love it.
We today, though, broadcast from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, presented by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Taking your reactions, your emotions, your passions, or lack thereof, for the Boston Red Sox after the trade deadline. And coming up at 11, Mego and Scheimer in. Mego was at the Patriots night practice last night, the scrimmage, so to speak. She'll have a full breakdown of that, I am sure. And Shine will pontificate about how average Drake May will be this year.
Right.
We talked a little about Micah Parsons and a little bit of Terry McLaurin, but mostly, despite the Patriots coming around the corner, it's a Sox day. Let's go to...
Just a quick note on Shine, and I love him. The Drake May thing is so aggravating. Like, he thinks he's awesome, but he doesn't think he's going to play well because of all these,
McDaniels is his fall guy. He's got the built-in...
Extenuating circumstances?
Extenuating.
My brain's not working. Extenuating circumstances will negatively impact the way in which Drake May can perform this year. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, it's like, get off the fence, Ordway.
Scheim is very stubborn. He's slow to be humbled.
That's true. Well, get humble or be humble.
Let's go to Jamie in Portland, Maine. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, hey, guys. Just an ownership point and then an egregious movie reference. What about taking the perspective that you know, and owners that own these teams for decades, and they have huge success, you know, they can tend to rest on their laurels. I mean, you know, there's surveys of things, and I don't know if there's one's been done about, I mean, you know, the Steelers were killers in the 70s, and, you know, they've traded off. Now, they don't have the almost billionaire owner, but that being said, there's probably some, and so, granted, I don't agree with this approach, but it's just a tendency to be, and I don't know if they're fat and happy. I don't think any of them are, you know, physically. But that being said, to me, resting on your laurels is part of it, and especially when you got an audience. And so I think a little bit of it's just being lazy. And
Jamie,
the movie
if I could jump in before the movie reference, because I don't want to rush you off here. I think it's far worse with the Red Sox specifically, not talking about the Steelers or other teams. The Red Sox have been the cash cow to fund new investments in other sports. So it's not that they're not as invested here. They're just sitting back and not spending as much, utilizing the income to help other organizations and other sports field the team.
Well, that is their business. And you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I don't like it. I'm not saying I like it. The movie reference in terms of a boss passing along a message to whoever, I'll just go to Rocky and Adrian. You know, Rocky's on his knees. First movie, he's waiting for the message. Hey, you know, and then she turns to him and says, "Just win." And you know, any owner to a manager, in terms of a trade deadline or things like this, it isn't very complicated. If they really want to go forward.
Right.
So I'll leave it there.
Speaking of movies, what is
Nick was dying there to put him right on his knees. Who's dying in this scenario?
I am.
Jeez, don't say that.
What's the movie with Yoda? There is no try.
What's the movie with Yoda?
I mean, what's the line with
that?
Yoda?
That would be Star Wars.
No, I know that. I meant, what's the line?
Yeah, there is no try.
So, you know, oh my God, does Sam Kennedy love telling you how hard things were to get done? Who cares?
Let's do or do not with Kevin in the car. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, guys, you hear me?
I got you.
All right, hey, thank you for taking my call. So I have a question and then also an additional thought before I stop talking. So my question is, what would the deal have been? Like, what deal gets Joe Ryan? Because obviously there are people that were not, you know, obviously Roman Anthony's not going anywhere, right?
Right.
And then additionally, are we considering the fact that, you know, 7 months ago or whenever we got Garrett Crochet, the password, who's now our fourth biggest prospect or whatever, was like our ninth, because our top five prospects, two of them are on the White Sox, right?
Right.
Two of them are untouchable on our team, and one is in Worcester and untouchable because we gave him $15 million a year. So really, like, no wonder they don't want Franklin Arias in the password, because they're, you know, imagine if somebody offered us their third and fourth prospect, but they were third and fourth behind five guys who are in the major leagues.
Yeah, you're right about that, although some of them are in the top 100 of various lists. But Merrill Kelly, who was the rental pitcher and an older guy, who I thought they would have nailed, went for three starting pitching prospects specifically, Curtis. So maybe that's the weakness. You didn't have enough starting in the
Brian
minors.
What about Brian
Bayo? Well, I'm not giving up my man.
You wouldn't have done Bayo straight up for Joe Ryan?
Oh, no. We're talking about Merrill Kelly.
No, I'm talking about Joe Ryan.
Would I do Bayo for Ryan? No. No.
Why?
I love baby Pedro, and he's young still. He's still coming out of the oven. He's still a bun in the oven.
Right.
Let him cook, and the changeup's coming around. Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, guys. The coverage has been great, by the way, the last couple of days. Jones and Keith did a great breakdown of whether Bloom or Breslow was better, and it was eye-opening, shocking for a half an hour yesterday. But I've called you guys before. I'm going to shut up about it now. Henry just declared war on baseball after the last World Series, and I don't get it. I don't know if he's just getting bored in his old age or what, but let's look at who they've alienated. Well, first they said players are overpaid. So there's the PA and the agents. You just put them on your bad side. Then they said, apparently they fired Dombrowski because he was an old-school baseball guy. So that gets every old-school baseball guy, which is still probably a majority of people in front offices and GMs, on your bad side too, because I was like, oh, you don't think we know what you're talking about? You think a computer can do it better?
And all their scouts.
All the scouts, right. Yep. Scouts are going to hate that, of course, because a lot of them are dyed-in-the-wool guys and say, this guy's going to be good, this guy's going to be bad, and I don't have, you know, a Microsoft program to back me up on it. So, now with this thing with Rosenthal was pretty good, and I don't love him. I don't really love any reporter insider because I think it's a bunch. I think they're all steered, and they, you know, they make very little bones about how they're getting their information and who's telling them to say what. And then Nightingale has had his head up the butt, you know, of somebody named Steinbrenner for God knows how long. So you got to take him with a grain of salt.
Fair.
I mean, he's not a unbiased opinion or whatever.
So when was the last time? When was the last time Bob Nightingale or Ken Rosenthal threw a bomb against the Red Sox in any capacity?
They haven't. That's
so. Then who cares about where his head is up the Yankees' ass? He's never said a damn thing about this team in a negative light, because that's not how they act.
I'm not making excuses for
Red Sox. But you did. I mean, you're saying that he's got his head up the Yankees' ass, and it's not relevant to the conversation.
He could be pro-Yankees.
That's not my intent. I think Nightingale is very pro-Yankee and pro-Med, pro-New York, all New York. But the thing is, the Red Sox were in that tier with them. So the Red Sox are a team that Nightingale would have loved over the last 20 years, because they were the elite that spent the money and got the big players and put, you know, and were in the brightest lights. So I'm actually saying, in a way, yeah, Nightingale's biased for New York, which he is, absolutely. But the Red Sox have fallen out of that tier, is what I'm saying. I think his distaste for them is that they've taken themselves out of that tier.
I think their distaste for them, Ryan, is that they keep being told things that never come to fruition.
And I agree with you, Curtis. I mean, they are lying to their fans. They are trying to stay. Somebody called in yesterday and said it's like the Bruins when they wanted a salary cap. They want to be fringe playoff. They want to be fringe relevant. They want to keep, you know, the eyes on the TV and the turnstiles going, but they're not going to invest. They're not going to go out and get that extra person. They're not going to go over their, you know, comfort thresholds to put the salary where it needs is just to get over the top like a Dombrowski would. So, I think they've just lit their entire bridge on fire with every part of baseball at this point. And the only way you get out of it is to buy your way out of it. And they're still, oh, we were so aggressive over the winter. No, you weren't. I mean, you still had major holes when you came into the season.
You weren't aggressive. You waited until spring training to sign Bregman.
Right. Like, and hopefully Bregman showed up. Right.
Right. Good call, Ryan. I think this, the 2018 Red Sox were a great team that was full of risk. They extended themselves beyond where they were comfortable with David Price. They extended themselves in trying to get Mookie here. He wasn't signing the deal that they wanted him to sign. They brought in high-priced, talented players that won games. But David Price was a cantankerous a-hole for most of his time here. He was a pill. He had allergies. There was all these guys that required all this additional investment of time and energy. And at that time, Henry had purchased Liverpool 4 years prior. He had the racing team. He hadn't yet bought the Penguins, and now John Henry views his time as a success. He won 4 championships. He stopped the curse. That what they did at Fenway Park will be marveled at for generations, and how they reinvented the oldest place in Boston. All of that is true and positive. He just is done with it. The way that the system has been geared needed a course correction, according to John Henry, because it wasn't profitable enough for the amount of time and energy it required to own it. So, as a leader, he fired the most expensive, high-paying guy in Dave Dombrowski in the way he builds teams. He sought to do what the Rays did with Chaim Bloom. Then he brings in Breslow, and he's coming up on a 2026 work stoppage where he is willing to stop a season to institute a cap where the sport is much less onerous when it comes to what he is needed to do.
Yeah, so he's not lazy. He's not resting on his laurels. He's actually very active in a certain direction, but it just happens to be against high-paying.
So everybody here that goes to Fenway today, they're going to spend $60 to park. They're going to spend $100 at least for a ticket, and they're getting an owner that's shopping at Old Navy. And so that's where the dichotomy is existing, and that's why people are frustrated.
It is general. You could broad brush across the city's sports teams. After Titletown, we're in that aftermath, right? Most owners have become relaxed, steady, but not...
Or sold.
Outstanding. In some cases, sold.
Right.
But we did have Wick with an unbelievable run, whether it was all his money or not.
2%.
That was great. That was fantastic.
Wow.
They went all in.
I would love to buy 2% of a company and get credit when it succeeds.
Let's go to our friend Danny in Quincy, or maybe Jamaica. Hello,
and Brian Bayo's numbers are not similar, 4-1-3, to Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan's got a sub-1 whip. He's got 10 wins. He's got a 2.8 ERA.
Joe Ryan is not Nolan Ryan. He's 43-31
Wait, wait. The guy that says Brian Bayo is Pedro Martinez is saying Joe Ryan isn't Nolan Ryan. Wake up, reality.
Bayo will be better than Ryan when he gets there.
Okay.
Mark my words. Go ahead, Danny.
Okay. I'm taking the stance of Ken. I think Henry has given full autonomy to Breslow. And I think Sam Kennedy is there to back Breslow up, no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Good point,
and
Kenny. Yes. Why are you laughing at that?
Oh, full autonomy.
Go ahead, Curtis. I mean,
you're right, Danny.
Why is that so laughable, Curtis?
Because I have a brain.
Okay. You know something, man? Yeah, I hear you. And if Greg Hill were here, he'd say, you're right, Curtis. You're right. He's so far. How does he?
All right, take
you,
that back.
You think that John Henry has handed the keys to the car entirely to Craig Breslow?
Yeah, I do. Okay, go take case in point. Case in point.
And why were they all in the room with him yesterday, David?
They're to support
him.
Ken, when I'm having a conversation with someone, you don't need to interject with some inanity.
It's not the Curtis show. It's the Ken and Curtis show. Okay. And I'm your boss, so shut up. Go ahead, Danny.
Why were they in there, Danny?
When Crochet got pulled with 85 pitches, that was the analytics talking. And that was Breslow talking. They superseded Cora's autonomy on the field during that game. And that's why Cora kind of, kind of soured on his superiors. That's how they run their organization.
How much do you think Craig Breslow makes, Danny? How much do you think Breslow makes versus what Cora makes?
Who's running the show,
Curtis? I'm asking you a simple question. Why can't you answer a question? You demand me to answer yours. Who makes more money, Cora or Breslow?
Breslow, I believe. I don't know the salary structure.
Ken.
I don't know. Is it Ken? I don't know. I take that back. I don't know who's making more money.
You don't know who's. You think Craig Breslow's making over $7 million a year?
Probably
no.
Not.
No. Okay, I take that back because I don't know the payrolls.
They were desperate for a GM, though.
It doesn't matter how much money they're making. Breslow has been given autonomy. Who, if not Breslow, who's calling the shots?
John Henry, it's his team. He has a budget they have to live
but
under.
He's not on the phone. I mean, Breslow actually has to make the calls and the deals.
Like, okay, Danny, John Henry right now is a little over a year away from locking the sport out to get a salary cap. He has joined the Economic Reform Committee as its chair, led by Rob Manfred, to get spending down and institute a cap. You saw that this past week when there was a well-chronicled dust-up between Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred about the need to bring in a salary cap to normalize salaries and improve parity in the sport. John Henry is fixated on saving the sport of baseball, with his team success being irrelevant largely to how he feels about it, because he needs a cash flow from this team with a simple budget that he can bank on that is less work, where he can take that money and allocate it to the younger and other investments he's made in other sports. That's what I believe to be going on.
Well, you can do both. You can rein in spending on baseball. I kind of agree with him. I think the spending in baseball has gone way out of whack.
So do you think they'll lower ticket prices, Danny?
The 30 million times 10-year contracts, it's ruining baseball.
Right.
Ruining it.
Right.
So
do you think that
they, I agree with them. But
do you think they're going to lower ticket prices if they lower their payroll?
Hey, listen, if you don't want to go to, you don't want to pay those prices, like you say to your listeners, anybody who criticizes your morning show, you say, hey, why are you listening?
Right.
They don't have to pay the parking. They don't have to go to the games. You have a choice.
Right, but I have a privilege. I have a great privilege here where I have the opportunity to speak for people that are outraged, that do want to spend less money for games, that feel like if they're spending $200 a ticket, they should have Aramark be able to pay their employees and have a team that's worthy of that investment. I think that that is far more common than what you just described, which is the masochists that listen to something they despise.
The people don't have to pay the ticket
price. Right, and nobody has to pay a dime to listen to this radio show, Danny. It's a horrible analogy.
And as far as Joe Ryan goes, Minnesota.
We're going to give him an hour here? I mean, we got 5 minutes so far.
Okay, what's wrong? What's your problem?
I wanted to just get the Minnesota thing.
Well, I mean, he called me an A-hole. I don't think you told him.
We've done that. Nobody heard that.
The Red Sox. The Red Sox have either overvalued their prospects, or they didn't want to give them up, or because Minnesota wanted a boatload of prospects in return because they just had a fire sale. Who else? And as far as you keep hopping on Devers, there was only one taker for Devers in baseball. That was the Giants because they thought they still had a shot.
Wait. You think there was one taker for Devers because they thought they had a shot, or you think that because they were the only ones willing to take on the salary, Danny?
They were the only ones interested.
Why?
Salary or no salary?
Well, that's the whole point, Danny. The salary is what could have been impacted if the owner invested and took the money back. There would have been more suitors. There would have been more suitors if they ate some of the money and they would have gotten a better return. That's just facts, Danny.
There was nobody.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well,
God in heaven.
That was a good finish. He agreed with me. Breslow deserves more heat than you're giving him. That's just the point. And, you know, speaking of money, the ESPN NFL deal has me a little nervous, the red zone thing. Do you think that's going to be bad for the fans? Something about that just seems unholy.
I just think the NFL is interested in, very similar why John Henry bought the Globe, they want to have an understood control over them out of the messaging at their major partners in the media.
Well, I get it, but like, it's not going to be good for the fan. The red zone, I guess, is untouchable. They'll keep that as a product, but
there needs to be a course correction with the, like, right now. I my head spins when I see, you know, you got Hulu, you got Netflix, you got Amazon, you've got Peacock, you've got Comcast, you've got ESPN Insider, Disney Plus. Like,
you're turning into Greg. You have trouble like logging into these things.
Well, I just have the same stupid passwords. Probably people, like 500 people, have taken my credit card info already. Like, there needs to be some central. Somebody needs to create a company where you get everything organized in one platform, one application.
You just need your son James to grow up enough that he can handle your passwords.
Well, now he literally is. He's figured out YouTube on my phone.
What about Joe Nixon Garcia? He is the password.
Does your daughter, is she able to, like, he looks at it and he can unlock it?
My daughter, yeah. She's in my phone every night.
No,
yeah.
But, like, does the facial, is it because they're, like, part of us?
While I'm sleeping, she puts it up in front of my face and unlocks it.
No way.
Yes, yeah.
That is next level.
Yeah, she's devious.
That's amazing. No, James just looks at it and unlocks. I guess I must look young.
On that note,
I'm 22 and can't remember any of my passwords either.
Well, that's
boy,
good,
Jacob.
Jacob.
Well done.
Jacob's a BC kid, though. He's a little disheveled at times. He came in with holes in his socks this week, so I don't know what's going on there. He's getting to that phase of BC. Is this your last year there?
I'm done.
Oh, you're done.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Congrats.
I was the saddest thing. I have a quick PSA. We were out at Morgan's Canteen on Fall River. Awesome spot. And a nice gentleman who's a firefighter asked for a photo, and his spouse was there, and we're talking, and she said, I hate to take your time. My son just graduated from Franklin Pier, one of the schools down there, as a media or communications. How can I get him in this business? And I said, well, he's got an intern. Did he intern? They said, no. How do you have communications programs where you're charging God only knows? It's the only thing you should do in college. And I sat there. I felt like such an a-hole. I'm like, I don't tell them to go into sales. I have no idea. If you don't intern in college, there's no point in getting a communications degree.
Very difficult. Are you clapping at that?
Round of applause for me for that take, Curtis.
I mean, but it's so true. It's like if your kid, son or daughter, wants to get into media, and while they're at college, they're not interning every semester, then it's a waste of your money.
I was John Meter Perel's intern, as you well know.
Right.
Here at WEI.
The greatest, want to hear this, old school, 1510 The Zone.
Yeah.
John Anik and Ryan Russillo, the diehards.
Nice.
Two guys who, we had 20 listeners, 10 were in the building, and now they're on the top of their sports.
What was their nickname for you then?
They didn't really have one.
No nickname?
No.
Okay. Well, it's you've come a long way since then. You're mostly loved. Not by Danny, who just called you an a-hole. We dumped it. We love Shyman Mego. They're coming up at 11. We will have a crossover and take more of your phone calls. Lots of Red Sox action out there. Sox baseball today, right here across the Shaws in Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network, 4:10 first pitch. And then tomorrow, Curtis, wake up early, 11:35 a.m., Sox Sunday on Roku. But, of course, always right here on Odyssey for free. And we got Chime and Mego coming up, and Bradford to follow that at 1. He's got his full sit-down with Sam Kennedy from yesterday. Their company line, if you're just joining us, via Sam Kennedy, who was in the room with Brez Curtis. The guys we were locked in on didn't move. So nobody else got controllable starters either.
So if you have a season that is incredibly important to you, don't you say, okay, that was plan A. Plan B is
Matt's
cease or,
yeah.
You know, like I just, it, honestly, if this was just, you know, this was an anomaly. If the last three deadlines, they had improved the team, they had done deals that made them uncomfortable, then I would say, okay, that happens. You know, not every year that everything works out where the player you want is moved and that you happen to have the right players that fit that team's needs to get that player for the stretch run. Totally get it. But this is now four straight years. And
for Perez, two at least. You know, you're 0-2 with him.
And this is also, you know, they have said that they can't be middling it. That was another line Sam Kennedy said last year. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They middled it.
Yeah, they didn't trade anybody. They were buyers, not sellers.
They traded Devers this year.
Well, they did trade Devers. Good point.
So, I mean, they did middle it.
I don't consider that the deadline, but I guess you're right.
And you can't argue that the what you agreed to at the beginning, which is they had the opportunity to get more people engaged on Devers.
No, you're right about that.
And I was wrong about Devers to this point. Like, he's been awful there. I thought he would turn around.
They're 500. They're out of it.
They're out of it. So, and, you know, I said that to Greg. I couldn't figure out. Was Danny saying I'm up Greg's ass or Greg's up my ass?
Not sure.
Anyway, either way, a lot of ass talk. And
speaking of ass, though, how fun was it to see the Yankees implode last night?
13-12.
They traded for seven players. Four of them were involved in a collapse. They're up 9-4 in the seventh. Jake Bird comes in, makes his debut, gets rocked. Then Bednar, who they got, and I thought the Sox should have got, gave up a two-run jack. They retook the lead, and then in the ninth, they brought in Duvall. They're up 12-10. They blow that, and the Caballero, who they got, the shortstop, was in right field. A ball goes right under his glove, and they blow a 9-4 lead after all that action. That is awesome.
Do you remember when the Red Sox, somebody gave a false story to the TBS broadcaster and said that Dustin Pedroia's nickname was El Caballito?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know. But the Little Pony.
Oh.
I have a quick point. You asked about the Red Zone and ESPN.
Yeah.
How is there not a Saturday version of that with college football? Is it because of all the different networks? Like,
oh, good point. There should. That'd be a cash cow.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah. Great point. Because
there's so many games, you would literally be inside that red zone constantly.
Yep. And they should just do it they could do it even within a conference.
Right. Big Ten could do it.
Yep.
There's 20 teams now.
Only one conference left. Let's go to Matt on 95, talking Sox and Fenway last night. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. To make a point about Danny before the break, the caller, in saying that that Henry gave Breslow autonomy, I think he's entirely wrong, and I agree with you guys. I mean, you look at the way Breslow talks in his press conferences, it's always about what's best for the organization, what's best for the organization, and never about what's best for this year's team. And I hate that talk. I think that's the biggest indicator that he's got Henry's pocketbook in mind and not about winning baseball games. So I think Breslow's a shill, but I wanted to make the point about Fenway last night. By all accounts, it was electric, and I think Cora made a comment in his post-game press conference about how good the fans were. And, I mean, that's obviously a great sign. It shows our town's loyalty, but at the end of the day, how does that look, you know, our fans turning out and rooting for this team when ownership will just not spend a dime? It's rather frustrating, so I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
No, yeah, that's so true. It's true, and that is what irks me the most is that people here, it is, of all the major teams, of all the four teams in Boston, the relationship with the Red Sox is just unique. For the vast majority of the people that are listening to our show, you grow up with the Red Sox. And if you're my age or older, you grew up with the heartbreak passed down by generation to generation. And this ownership group did a spectacular job when they bought the team. This trajectory is really fascinating, right? So they come in. Everybody's doubting them. Why didn't you give it to the local guys? Who are these, you know, what do they call people that come in, like fly-by-nights or
mercenaries? No.
Mercenary. There's another term for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they come in here and they, you know, everybody's questioning everything they do. Then they win in 04, and then they proceed to win three more while reshaping Fenway Park and the area around it in ways that nobody could have envisioned. And now it's like they've gone back to the beginning. And the fans are going to go to Fenway because it's part of what this city represents. It's just,
And the team is not bad. They're okay. They're interesting.
Of course. They're not right. It's just to say over and over again that you had all these intentions to do things, but for the actions of others that were outside of your control, you were unable to, it flies in the face of reason.
And they're close. They were close to being really good, and they are not there quite yet. They did win last night. Let's see how they do today. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Ken and Curtis wrapping up for today. Mego and Shime next. Mego at the Pats practice last night, but I'm sure they have a lot of Sox talk as well. And then Brad Foe, Baseball Isn't Boring at 1. Curtis, talk to you Monday morning.
All right, I'll see you at Fenway.